child is born, Prince of Peace. The sun is set, his people free. Wonderful Counselor, mighty God and friend to me. The sun is set, his people free. Heart closed and cold. Not just one tribe only, but to all of God you know. The promise of a kingdom is offered now to you. Just take the hand of the Master. Start your life anew. For unto us a child is born, Prince of Peace. A son to set his people free. A wonderful Counselor, mighty God and friend to me. Thunder set his people free. For unto us a child is born, Prince of Peace. Thunder set all people free. Wonderful Counselor, mighty God and friend to be. Thunder set all people free. A thunder set all people free. Years ago in Bethlehem there was a story going round. A man and his wife and the child they bore. And tonight they came to town. And there were prophets who spoke long before of a king that was to come. And strange as it seemed, there was reason to believe this child could be the one. Child grew in stature, and it wasn't long before the people realized there was something in the way that he spoke to them. There was something in his eyes, and he was down at the synagogue with the teachers of the law, and they all stood amazed. But they didn't like the fact that a carpenter's son was telling them to change their ways. Prophet or preacher, the Son of God, a teacher, Messiah, a king, or just a man? News spread like fire through the land, and the people all came to see the strange things they heard about, and this man from Galilee. For some it was a magic show, surely someone could explain. Cause no one's ever cured a man born blind, risen dead, or near the lane. Late one night, a plan was made to put an end to these tales. The leaders bought one who was close to him. It was a 30 silver piece sale. They hung on a cross till he died. They were sure that he was through. 3 days later, he rose again. Now he's here and he's asking you. The Son of God, a teacher, Messiah, a king, or just a man. And who do you say I am? A prophet or a preacher? The Son of God, a teacher, Messiah, a king, or just a man?
It's a privilege to be here today to join with you as you journey through the letter to the Hebrews, a challenging letter for sure. And if there's one thing that stands out in the letter to me, and I'm sure maybe to some of you that has come, is this struggle for the Hebrews to fully trust on the finished work of Jesus Christ. There's this draw back to the symbols of their faith. Yet here is the substance of their faith being offered to them. It is a drawback to the rituals that they were used to and that were comfortable to. And yet, here's Jesus Christ being offered. The work is done. A better priesthood, a better covenant, everything better. Why would you not come and just fully come to that? And so they were caught, and they needed to make that step of faith that to fully rely on the Lord Jesus Christ.
In the lives of those who follow, there's going to come a time when rhythm starts to stumble, sing song swallows rhyme, when imaginations crumble, false foundations turn to dust, towers fall to piles of stones, and girders into rust. Let the blood of Jesus wash the rubble from your mind. Have your eyes again to see the one you almost left behind. In the clamor and confusion, the blindness of your choice, still your soul in silence, listen for his voice. So many turns, so many ways, so many voices cry. Standing at the crossroads, watching time go flashing by. Indecision paralyzes, it's the fear of choosing wrong. But waiting in is a step itself, and you've been wandering too long. So again you search the scriptures, and again you ask your friends. And last of all, the one who knows the beginning from the end. Heaven and confusion, blindness of your choice, still your soul in silence, listen for his voice. Still dwell upon. But deep within a place where sword and veil had once denied, a tree of life is growing and living waters flow beside. Far beyond the human reason, in words upon a page, as glory flames all the fret where our bond is stayed. To know the end is a freedom, to hear it is relief. To fix your heart and soul on Him is rest. Far beyond no human reason, and words upon a page, His glory lightens all the fret, may our mind withstand. To know Him is our freedom, to hear Him is relief. To fix your heart and soul on Him.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Dick, you you thrown me off course there this morning. You said I would be speaking from Hebrews chapter 11. And I gulped and thought, oh, it doesn't take much to throw me off course. And, you know, I've come, hopefully, with a PowerPoint working. I tried to remember the children's story. It was the guitar in tune. I got my Bible. You have message notes, maybe a message map to follow this morning. But all these things are just a trap to make us kind of fall off course and get tied up in all these things. When this morning, if I could plead with you like the writer of Hebrews, just fully come resting on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let us not get caught up in those things that are going on all around us. And so let's bow our heads and let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are a God who cares and knows for each one. Each one has come here today with many things, maybe even things on their mind this morning that would draw them away from just looking onto you. And Lord, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit. Just help us to see the Lord Jesus more than anything and anyone today. And to just take this time that we have and to trust him fully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're looking at the last half of chapter 10 this morning. And a couple of weeks ago, we were here visiting with you, and Ted looked at me, and it might have been Dean, and looked at me with a puzzled look and said, did we make a mistake? Did we double book? Because Brian Wendell was speaking that morning, and they thought, oh, you're here. Well, we just came to sit and to take it in. Isn't it nice some days to do that? I know that if you're operating the soundboard or you're greeting or you have a Sunday school class or there's a potluck going on, you've got things in your mind and things to draw you away. But this morning we want to just stop. And I realize we're going to have potlucks, so I need to finish on time. I want us to look and read the verses 19 to 37, to the end of the chapter, 39. Let's just read those words together right now. But a new and living way, verse 19, chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries.
Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severe, a severer punishment, do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was crucified or by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," and again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you yourselves have a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet, in a very little while, he who is coming will come, will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul, the preserving of the soul. Before I go on, one thing you can count on this morning. The words we just read are true, and they are helpful, and they are for your soul, and they're for the building up of the body. Anything I say from here on in, you can't trust that way, because this is the Word of God. So this morning, I want to just draw attention to a contrast that I see taking place in this chapter all through the letter of Hebrews. And I'm sure, maybe as I was speaking with Dean maybe earlier, or Joel, about it's hard to come in halfway through a book and join in with you. I haven't heard the other speakers or many of them, and don't know what you've been studying and how you've been looking at the letter to the Hebrews. A challenging letter. But I do see in this letter a letter of warnings. And I see words of warning in this chapter, but I see at least four warnings in the letter. The fourth one is today in our text, but I just want to mention back to the other ones that I see. In chapter 2, if we went back to chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, but it says this: "For this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it." The writer of Hebrews is pleading with his Hebrew brothers and sisters, don't start drifting away, don't start going back. As we move through the letter, as we go on farther, we see in chapter 3, he writes about unbelief. "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God." We see it starts with a drifting away, and then we see what causes that is maybe some unbelief in the heart of the person that's seeking the truth, these Hebrew seekers. And in chapter 6, we read that it seems to escalate. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6 says, "Then having fallen away," this is scary words to me. These are sobering words. "It is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they have again, they crucify themselves, the Son of God, and put him to open shame." Serious, serious words that we have coming. I'm not working here.
Sorry, I'm just going to get turned on.
Okay, thank you. I wonder if you're looking around as I'm pressing buttons here, but these are the things we want to consider this morning as we come to chapter 10, halfway through the chapter. I'm going to leave you, if you have a message map, to think about the fourth warning that's in our words today. The reason I want to talk about this before we even look for a few minutes at the encouraging words of this chapter is I want us to consider what it means to be an apostate. What does it mean? What are these words that the writer is so serious about to these Hebrew seekers that have come and even been part of the teaching and sat under and followed with and joined with the fellowship of believers that was taking place around in the first century at this time of writing? I want to consider what these words mean. It says, "For if we go on sinning willfully," says willfully, "after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." It goes on even to say, "How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant which he was sanctified, set apart, and has insulted the Spirit of grace. I just want us to make sure that we understand who this letter has been really a group of people addressed to. It's a group of people, a group of Hebrews who have sat under the teaching of God, who have even been set apart and had the knowledge of truth, and yet for some reason they have turned their back on God. And not only that, they have done some serious damage to the body. And when I think of these Hebrews, how can we do an illustration of apostasy? When I think about it, I think of the hockey games we go to. We go and watch the little kids play sometimes. And they come out of the bench when they're supposed to go on the ice, and they all fall, just even coming out on the ice. They're all falling down. They finally get up, and the whole group of them chase the puck one way, and then they all turn around, they chase the puck the other way, and they're not really sure what they're doing. But the parents are cheering on, and then it'll happen. Sometimes they will switch sides maybe halfway through the game or something, and so they get mixed up which end they're on, right? And then you see the one little boy, he's heading for the net. He's actually not doing bad. He's got the puck on his stick, and he said, and parents are screaming, no, no, other way, other way. Mothers are covering their eyes, and the little boy goes and he shoots, he scores, and he's so thrilled. He sees this on TV. He puts a stick up, right, and goes like this, but he falls as he does it. And the parents are just like this, and the coach is looking. And so that little guy, that little girl comes to the bench. Here's what the coach will do. That was some pretty good skating you did there. And you know, you did well, you had to stay, and you're learning the things, but you got to realize that sometimes when it looks like the right way, it's the wrong way, right? We do that with little kids, right? Now, let's say this fellow is grown up, and he's playing for the farm team of the Vancouver Canucks. He's in New York, and Paul Girard is the coach, and they've got a big game in Oklahoma City. That's a big rival for those farm teams. They go down to Oklahoma City, and they're battling out, and the center, who's been playing, he's frustrated the whole game. He's fed up with his team. He just decides to take the puck and go on his own net and shoot it in there. Is there a difference? Huge difference. He has been trained, he has heard, he has known, he knows the difference, he knows the seriousness of it, of what to do to turn on your team like that. And this is where the letter of Hebrews is coming. It's not to someone who's slipping backwards because something awful happened in their life and they just don't feel like fellowshipping. It's not someone who's struggling with temptation in the world. And so what would make a person go on to continuously and willfully sin? Trampling on the Son of God, disdain for the blood of Christ, insulting the Spirit of grace after receiving the knowledge of truth. How does this happen? And I think if we think about this for a little bit, we can be careful ourselves and not be arrogant and look at this group of people, of these seekers who were so close and yet for somehow turned their back on God. And I think there are some reasons that we could have. False teaching can do that. And we need to be very careful how we handle the word. That is what the writer of Hebrews is doing. Very, very careful. He's laying it all out. He's saying the old covenant was all this. Here's the old covenant. Great big book over here. Do this, do this. It's like policy and procedures. You ever work at some place that has a big binder of policies and procedures? I was at Sioux College working there, and they gave me, because I didn't do things right, so I got this big book, policy and procedures. And every week there were more things to put in there to keep adding to it. And I remember a man who I worked with who was very wise and a good teacher. And I said, I can't even keep up. I can't even read this. I'm hired to teach, and how am I going to get through all this? And he said, you see this over here, what you were hired to do? You were hired to teach. You were hired to care for those students. You do that, and you won't have to worry about this. And for the Hebrews, it was, if you looked over here at the finished work of Christ, you just do that. You just believe on him, and you won't have to be concerned about these things. These things won't weigh you down. And why would you go back? And that's why the letter and the false teaching that was coming in, that may be both ways as we go to the letter to the Galatians, we'll see that they start to mix and want to go back that way. False teaching will do it, certainly temptation in the world. I don't have to tell you what that's like when we're tempted, often tempted to go back to an old way of life, worldliness. All around us, we're tempted in the things of the world. There's also a defective knowledge of Christ. Things like that the Hebrews, if they looked in the scriptures, and as we read from Isaiah today, they would know this is the Son of God. He came exactly the way the scriptures said he would. He was born in Bethlehem. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He came riding in on the foal of a donkey. They divided his clothes. There were 30 pieces of silver done in a transaction. It was all there. How could they miss it? And yet there's the enemy who would give us a defective knowledge of Christ. Just something missing that we didn't know the full gospel, and of course would lead to unbelief. Those are the warnings that we have, but in this chapter at the close, we have words of exhortation, words of encouragement, and you're welcome there to follow along as we look in through there. As we read in the chapter, we have things like confident in the blood of Christ. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Is there an amen there? There should be an amen there. When you hear about the blood of Christ and what he did for you, I mean, what more could you want? Do you want to go back to the ritualistic way of life? That if I miss a Sunday morning, I'm in, I'm out, I don't know. We need to know. We need to have that security, that sincere heart of full assurance. John wrote that you may know you have eternal life. There's no guessing here. There's no wondering, did I do enough? Because it isn't about us doing. It's about him who did it. It's done. It's finished. Do you believe that? And that's what the gospel is. And these Hebrew seekers who were so close and maybe even thought they were in, all of a sudden, for some reason, were drawn back. And yet we look and we can't relate, maybe because we're not Jewish. We never had that kind of history. Or have we grown up in a family that we relate, it's my family is why I'm saved. I come from such a rich heritage of believers all in my family. That will not save you. Oh, it's my chapel that I go to. They preach the truth. We have good speakers all the time, and we got a youth group that is just vibrant. We do a lot of things. New people coming every week. That will not save you. Those are the lights that shine from life that's in a battery. But there can be people who are just like they're the one who's alive and yet dead inside. That is the letter to the Hebrews. You have come so close, but you're falling short of it. You need to know. You need to know for certain today whether you are saved, whether you are fully relying on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Are you holding fast and drawing near? This is how you can tell the difference. This is one way. A person who is truly following Jesus Christ, he will struggle and he will have sin in their lives. I have sin in my life. But I don't want to take that and go back to an old way. I want to draw closer. I want to be near. I want to hold on. And Jesus got a hold of me. I'm not going anywhere. He's got me. As he got you. Holding fast and drawing near. Stimulate one another to love and to deeds, to shine our lights. And we need each other, brothers and sisters. We need each other. And so when you're not here, you know, you might think, well, I didn't have any duty today, and I'm just not going to go. You're missed. If you came and did nothing but just sat in the chair, gone up and left, you have done something for the body. Because your presence here reminds us that we're not alone, that we're together. And I hope that you being here is ministering to your heart, but you just being here ministers to my heart. And when you're not here, and I know what it's like in a local assembly, when someone's not there, and then they're not there another week, did you see so-and-so? Are they okay? Are they all right? See, we want to stimulate one another. We want to care for one another. We want to worship together. We were called to be worshipers first, then workers. Sometimes, just maybe like the Hebrews, we think we got to do some work to really make it good enough. We were called to be worshipers first, then workers. Then we shine our light, encouraging one another. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. We want to think about the writer to the Hebrews, and this was the theme of the letter that I saw, and I think maybe in Romans 2, and then I got thinking it's also the theme of Isaiah, then it's also the theme, and I realize it's a theme of the Bible. The just shall live by faith. Faith is the key. We are saved by grace through faith and not of works. We are saved by faith through grace so we could do work, so we could actually work for the Lord and shine for him. But I think how much it tickles our Lord when we just believe him. We just believe him. That's the kind of faith that we're looking at when we read the letter of Hebrews. And there were those who have come so close to it. They liked some things about following Jesus. Or maybe it ticked off the Romans. And that was good enough for them. Maybe I'll join. Or my family's going. I will go too, because they've gone. And then the pressure came, and things got rough, and things happened in life, and they fell back away. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, to destruction, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. I don't know where you are this morning, and I can't tell you, we're looking at you, which battery you are. I can't tell. Although I've seen some light shining here on St. Joseph Island that tells me there's some live batteries here. But I can't tell. Only the Lord knows. And so we want to close with a song just to calm our hearts before we hit that potluck. And we just really stop and take a stop. Is it the finished work of Jesus that I'm relying on? Or is there something else drawing me back, taking me to somewhere else?
Jesus, I believe you. I trust you. I give you my life. Thank you for dying for me, Lord. Oh, Father God, it's good to fellowship with you. We think of the food we're going to enjoy together now. We thank you for those who prepared, those who brought it, and just bless the rest of our time together, and may it be pleasing in your sight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.